Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Cheeseburger in paradise. Got all the onion slice. Not too particular, not too precise. I'm just a
Here's a good idea. Have a point. Makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome back to At Your Service here on Camo X. Yes, Cheeseburger in Paradise. Why are we playing that? Well, there are certain foods that are just quintessentially American. Hot dogs, apple pie, fried chicken, and yes, hamburgers or cheeseburgers. And while there's some evidence that the hamburger may, and I say may, have been invented in Germany, the bulk of the evidence points that the U.S. invented hamburgers, and in fact, it was first officially debuted at the 1904 World's Fair right here in St. Louis. So I'm bringing all this up because today is National Burger Day. National Burger Day. So I wanted to interview the world's foremost expert on burgers, who just coincidentally happens to be my daughter, Laura Young. She's a sophomore at Mizzou. Hey, Laura, welcome to Camo X. Uh-oh, she's in a bad cell signal.
Thanks for having me. I'm really glad you did all that Wikipedia reading.
Okay. Yes, my daughter can be sassy. But, you know, you've been a hamburger aficionado for a very long time. How long?
Well, I was eating burgers about the same size as me at some point. So, however old that is.
Well, what I want to know is what are the elements of a great burger? In other words, what is it that makes it a great burger?
Well, in my personal opinion, again, there are five main elements that have to make up a good burger. And those are flavor, which can also include the texture of the meat, the originality of the burger itself, because cooking is an art, the bun quality, and then two I like to call goopiness and the fixins, and that is with an NS apostrophe.
Okay. Speaking of looking something up on Wikipedia, those are great categories, but you have your own rating scale for burgers. So does your own rating scale work when it comes to eating burgers?
So I don't like to feel like I'm drowning in the burger, which is where the goopiness comes in. So each one is going to be rated 1 from 5. And then from there, you can evaluate each different category from 1 to 5 and then adds up to a total, because there's 5 categories, 5 stars, so it adds up to a total of 25.
Okay, so if 5 is great.
Math, and one, I know how to do.
Oh, you're better at math than I am. So 5 is great and 1 is poor. Is that correct?
Yes. 5 is the highest.
Okay, got it. Got
the most number of points.
So given this length and breadth of your experience, Laura, what places in the St. Louis area rate highest on the Laura Young Burger Scale?
Well, I like to go for simplicity. I don't like a burger to be too much. I don't like it to be trying too hard. So ones that are going to have, in my opinion, the best, just the cleanest, best ingredients that are very simple. They don't try to, make up something weird, are going to be the high point. They just make a burger and they serve it and it's great. Also, Three Kings Pub tends to be a little underrated. And Duffy's is pretty good. And these are all just places that, again, they don't try very hard. The meat is great. The burgers are great. The fixins are wonderful. Chili B's and Fitz's are also up there. And, of course, with Fitz's, you have to pair it with the root beer.
Oh, well, of course. Of course. You have to pair it with the root beer and Fitz's. It's a given. So now that you're in starting your second year at Mizzou in Columbia, what are the best burger places that you found in Columbia?
Well, here at Mizzou, they don't really let us leave campus. So
it's not indentured servitude. I mean, you could leave.
Only if I want to walk a mile.
You've got a car.
The best places. I have no idea what you're talking about.
So you don't have a rating for great places in Columbia yet.
The Shack in the Student Center serves great burgers if you're willing to wait in line for 3 hours. I'll say that.
Okay, what about Harpo's? Have you gotten burgers at Harpo's?
I have not been to the Harpo's. If I had to get into Harpo's, I'd have to climb the wall.
Oh, well, no, this is not Texas. You don't have to climb the wall. So any possibility that starting a chain of gourmet burger restaurants with simplicity, originality, is that in your future by any chance?
I'd have to learn how to cook first, so probably not.
Okay. Well, Laura, sophomore at Mizzou, world-renowned burger expert, thanks so much for joining us this evening on KMOX.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. Speaking of inflated college costs, you just heard part of it right there. I just talked about that last hour, and there it is. Hey, the phone lines are definitely open now because I want to hear from you. This is National Burger Day, folks. What makes a great burger? How should it be cooked? And who serves the best burgers in St. Louis? I've got my pen. I never leave home without my pen. I'm going to take notes. We're going to find out who has the best burgers right here. And in fact, coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Matt Pajeski on this very point as well. 314-436-7900 at your service. KMOX.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Okay, let's give it up for Matt Pajeski, board operator extraordinaire. Perfect. You know, I actually quizzed somebody the other day, Matt, on this song because they said, oh, I can't remember this, I can't remember that. And I said, do you remember the old Burger King commercial from the 70s? And they started singing it. So, yes, that was a quite memorable of a tune. So I'm going to ask you, Matt Pajeski, because you are our own in-house burger expert.
Wow. That's quite the lofty title.
Quite, yeah. And it comes with a great increase in pay, too.
Oh, good.
So what do you consider to be a good burger? What distinguishes a good burger from a bad one? And where do you like to get burgers?
Well, I think a good burger nowadays, I think, has to be smashed. I like smash burgers now. Mm-hmm. Ever since I had one, however many years ago, I'm like, this is a turning point in cuisine for every restaurant needs to be adopting the smash burger.
Yep.
So I don't know what they do to it. I know they smash it, and I guess the juice is just kind of, I guess the patty just kind of soaks in the juices after you smash it, but whatever they do.
But, you know, the other part with that, when they do it, because I agree, that's a great turn of events when it comes to culinary techniques, but it also makes the edges crispy.
Yes, it does.
Which is something you don't get in a regular burger that's not smashed.
Right.
So that's a great texture quality when you're eating a burger when it's got that crispiness.
Exactly. And like nowadays you can get a Blackstone grill, you can make smash burgers yourself. So where I like to get burgers, there's a place called Jack Nolan's. It's in Soulard.
Mm-hmm.
Just a small little restaurant and bar. They've got the smash burgers perfected. They are amazing, and they've got all sorts of different special sauces, and you can pile them up high, three or four different patties, and they're greasy, but they're really good. And I think, you know, what makes a bad burger is just plain simple. Like, you don't add anything to it. You gotta add the fixins, as your daughter would call it. You gotta add maybe some like special burger sauce or like mm-hmm. some caramelized onions, things like that. You gotta add some pizzazz to it.
Yep. Well, one of the things that it's funny because whenever my wife and I were dating, I told her I love to cook on the grill. She told me later, oh man, I was so upset when you said you like to grill, because from her experience with her dad, everything on the grill was like a burned sacrifice. Everything was just charred beyond belief, and then you dumped a lot of barbecue sauce on it to cover up the burnedness of the meat. Nobody wants that. No. Okay, so to me, the key point of a burger is it can't be cooked too much, because if you cook it too much, it's just a burnt sacrifice.
Yes.
And all the flavor is gone.
Right.
So, and it's interesting, too, that people say, oh, I don't like it bloody. But there is no blood. What you see is actually not blood. Even when it's red in a hamburger, the blood is completely gone. That is other types of moisture that comes from the meat, but it is not blood. So
I didn't know that.
When people think, oh, it's bloody, I can't eat it, not blood. The blood is completely gone. So blood has nothing to do with it. I have three places that I like burgers. High Point.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I love getting them at the High Point. They do a great job. I don't know if you've ever had one at the Twisted Tree. That's really a steakhouse, but they've got burgers with their just thick and it's almost like a steak on a bun. You know, I mean, it's that kind of brisket meat. It's excellent. And Five Star Burgers, which is in Clayton, they also do an excellent, excellent job. So if it's National Burger Day, it's a little late tonight, you know, it's 9:40 or 9:20 rather. So you don't want to necessarily go out and chow down on a triple cheeseburger from Jack Nolan's at 9:20.
I haven't had dinner yet.
You haven't had? Well, yeah, there you go.
Shouldn't even be talking about this. I'm dying right now.
Well, you don't get off work here to what, midnight? So
yeah.
You're not going to go there at midnight. But maybe make a point tomorrow to celebrate National Burger Day at your favorite burger place. One of the other stories that I want to get to this hour is panhandling. Now, you guys remember it was a couple of years ago, it was Beavis Shock. He's the attorney that represented Charlie Brennan, our own Campbell X's Charlie Brennan. Whenever Charlie Brennan got a red light camera ticket case, and he took it all the way to the Missouri Supreme Court, and they ruled that red light tickets were unconstitutional. Well, Beavis Shock actually represented a panhandler in Webster Groves several years ago. And this panhandler won a $150,000 jury award. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is more and more municipalities. In fact, I'm looking at the list here. Manchester, Brentwood, Chesterfield, DePere, Ellisville, all of these communities are switching and changing their ordinances to try to reduce panhandling, because you see it everywhere. And all of this relates back to this panhandling case that Beavis Shock handled a few years ago. I'll come back to that in a minute, because Jeff has been holding. Hey, Jeff, welcome to Camel X.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to talk to you about BJ's Bar and Grill up in Florissant. They've got a great, big, huge burger that's really, really delicious.
Really? Well, I've had pizza from there. I lived in Florissant for about 10 years, and I always got pizza there, but I never got burgers there.
I never did either, until one day I was going over to Henke's to get their burger, and they were packed, and BJ's had a good review, and I went over there, and it was delicious.
So what made it delicious, Jeff?
Their seasoning. The seasoning was really good. And I don't know if it's because the grill's so old that it's just got the seasoning baked in or what. But, you know, it's one of those things. And then last weekend we were down at the Concord Bar and Grill. Have you ever been there?
Well, Matt Pajeski, our board operator, shaking his head yes. I've never been there. Where is that?
It's on Concord at Lindbergh.
Okay.
South County.
Oh, I know right where that is. Sure.
Yeah, behind Shotzi's and a couple other places over there. But their menu, they've got, I don't know, it might be 30 to 50 burgers on the back of their menu. You can have it anyway. And it was so delicious. So a couple of good places for burgers in St. Louis.
Very good, Jeff. Hey, thanks for those tips. I've got those written down here, and I appreciate you listening to Camo X.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks, buddy. Good night. Going back to this panhandling story, we saw this explosion of panhandling because the courts in Missouri ruled that panhandling was a constitutional right. In other words, that cities couldn't prohibit it. Now, I've got a legal problem with that because free speech, there are different tiers of free speech. If you want to exercise your right to political or to religious speech, the Supreme Court has said that deserves the highest form of protection. Political speech, religious speech. But the next tier lower than that is commercial speech. That's why you can't see cigarette commercials on TV anymore. They're banned. And when they were banned, the tobacco industry sued saying, we've got a right to advertise. You can't squelch our right to free speech. Supreme Court ruled on that, well, you would be true. However, in this instance, it's commercial speech and commercial speech can be regulated. So when I heard that panhandlers have this right to free speech, it occurred to me, isn't panhandling at its core, isn't that commercial speech? I mean, they're not staying there on the corner saying, give me $5 and I'll give you five reasons why President Trump should be in prison. You know, they're not doing that. That would be political speech. They're not telling you, hey, with a donation, I will provide you with the secrets of what was taken from Mar-a-Lago. They're not doing that either. They're saying, give me money. That's commercial speech. So that can be regulated. And it baffles me. It baffles me as to why the court ruled the way it did. But because they did, I'm at least glad now that these other cities, like I said, including Brentwood and Chesterfield and DePere and Ellisville and Manchester, all of these other cities have now decided to get it, to take another crack at regulating panhandling, because it is truly a problem in the St. Louis area. If you haven't seen it, it is a problem. I'm always worried I'm going to hit somebody. When they're crossing the street and the light goes against them, I'm always wondering if I'm going to hit someone. It is a problem, and I'm glad that it's going to be addressed. Kyle's holding. Hey, Kyle, we got a few minutes here, don't we, Matt? Hey, Kyle, welcome to Camo X. Uh-oh, here we go. Kyle, let's try this again. Welcome to Camo X.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was calling to tout my favorite burger. It's on the Illinois side, but it's a very, very good burger. Has a nice garlic aioli. It's at Musali's Prime in Edwardsville, Illinois.
Musali's Prime?
Yes, and it's delicious. Get that with a painkiller, which is an adult beverage, and you'll have a great meal.
You know, that's a good name for an adult beverage.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Musali's, and that's in where did you say?
In Edwardsville.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I'm looking it up right now because I want to know where this is, particularly because the painkiller sounds pretty interesting. Musali's Prime. That's Mussali apostrophe S, Musali's Prime. And you're right. It's right there on Illinois 143 in Edwardsville. And if I go there, I'm supposed to say Kyle sent me. Is that right?
That's fine. They might know me. I'm the co-founder of a burger club on this side of the river.
Really? So. You're a co-founder? I love this. See, this is why,
yes.
Kyle, this is why I love being on Camo X, because I'm talking about National Burger Day, and a dude calls me who's in a burger club. I love
yes.
that.
So well, we're pretty serious about it.
How many people are in this burger club?
About seven.
Yeah?
Seven or eight. Yeah, so, and we have a good time with it. And the farthest burger that we've had was actually out in California, San Diego, and it's called the Hodad, and it's a great burger.
And I'm guessing there are some adult beverages consumed with these burgers.
A few. Yeah,
a few, sometimes. Okay. Well, don't say any more on advice of counsel, okay? Just Leave it at a few. So how long have you been in this burger club? This sounds intriguing to me.
A couple of years, and you can be an honorary member if you take it seriously.
I would love that, because it's funny, Kyle. I can tell you 10 guys that I know who are attorneys who are in wine clubs, but I've never heard of anyone being in a burger club, and I like that a whole lot better.
Me too. I'm with you.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, at your next meeting, please ask to vote on having Brad Young as an honorary member.
I will make that motion. And with my recommendation, you might make it.
I might make it. Well, actually, make the motion after a few adult beverages. You might get a better reaction.
That works.
All right. Hey, Kyle, thanks for calling in this evening.
Have a great night.
Okay. Thanks, you too. Hey, when we come back, I want to talk some more about this panhandling, because I think it's a real problem. But I would also like to hear from you about whether you've encountered panhandlers, whether it's a problem or not, whether this should be regulated, or should panhandling just be an absolute right where people can go into the streets and ask for whatever they want, and folks who are trying to crack down on panhandling are just are being cold and callous towards the underprivileged. What is your take on this? 314-436-7900. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back to At Your Service, and we're talking panhandling. Daryl's called in. Hey, Daryl, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. Thanks for listening. What's on your mind?
Okay, I see this guy out, and he has a sign that says he's a disabled vet, and he has his name and his phone number, and he's looking for work. And I've talked to him extensively, and the thing is, he really is a disabled vet, and he gets money, but it's not enough. And he said he had filed for an extension, and he can't, you know, work every day, so he does little side jobs on mm-hmm. the side. And the thing that I notice is that he asks for work, and he has his name and phone number, and he told me he's worked for several people. It's like he can work a day or two. I think he's got a bad neck and shoulder or something like that. And, you know, I didn't see nothing wrong with that. You know, I helped the guy out.
Sure, and I help people out too, Daryl. In fact, I make sure that my wife and I, we contribute a lot to charities. But the problem with the panhandlers is that you don't know. Like, for example, the person you talked about, Daryl, that's a great person to help out, and I would gladly do that. But when you pull up at a stoplight, you don't know if that person is collecting because they're disabled or whether they're collecting to fuel a crack habit. You just don't know that. So giving to them, unless someone like you takes the time to stop and get to know them, you don't know if you're contributing to help them or contributing to hurt them.
Oh, I really believe him, because the truth be known, I took the guy out to eat and everything, and you know, I'm like you, I'm skeptical, and he showed me his veteran ID and sure. everything. I believe him.
Well, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm just saying that it's hard to differentiate. My church is in Ferguson, Missouri, and there's been countless cases over the years where someone would come up to us after church and ask for money. And I would say, well, let me take you to get something to eat. And they'd say, no, thanks. And so then they'd go to the next person and ask for money. I had one case where a person said, I'm out of gas and I need money for gasoline. And I said, okay, well, get your car. Let's go to this gas station and I'll pay to fill it up. No, I'd rather you just give me money. Okay, well, then all of a sudden red flags are going up. So that's the problem with panhandling, is you don't know if you're helping them or you're hurting them.
Yeah, he's the dude never asked me for money.
Well, that's a good example, Daryl. And you know what? I want to thank you for actually going the extra mile, not ignoring them, displaying, and I'm not being facetious, the milk of human kindness to help them out, to get to know them, look at them as a person, not as an object. And I just want to thank you for doing that.
Yeah, he was a clean shaven guy. He wasn't bummy or anything. And he knows he was in the military. There's no way he could come up with all this. And he knows too many intimate details. He was in the Marines. And, I was in the service. This guy is real to me.
Good. Well, you know? And I'm glad that you took the time to get to know him. Hey, Daryl, thanks for calling in this evening. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Take care. But when we go back to this issue here, the restrictions with regard to panhandling, the restrictions that are being proposed by a lot of these municipalities in the county are to restrict panhandling to sidewalks. In other words, you couldn't have them in the street, but you can have them on the sidewalk. And legally, of course, time and place restrictions are completely legal on speech. If you go out at 2 o'clock a.m. and start yelling in the middle of the street, you're going to get arrested. And because there are time and place restrictions when it comes to speech. And so you can designate areas. For example, with abortion clinics, there are lots of laws that say that protesters cannot block access to an abortion center. So if you're going to protest at an abortion clinic, you have to stay on the sidewalk. You have to stay 10 feet away from individuals who are walking in. There are all kinds of those restrictions, and those are perfectly legal. So I don't have any problem legally with saying you have to be on the sidewalk. But getting back to the caller who called in a few minutes ago about, he took the time to get to know someone, and that's very admirable. There was Kevin Killeen did a whole nother story. It was from last year, early last year, where there was a whole group of panhandlers working the corner on Market Street and on 12th Street right next to City Hall. And so Kevin Killeen pulled up one day, turned on his recorder and started recording a conversation. And he asked this person, hey, what are you collecting money for? The guy said, oh, well, over there in that park across the street from City Hall, when I get money from you, I'm going to go over there and buy some crack. And he was very open about it. Well, I don't want to give money to someone to further their crack habit. I don't want to contribute.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Hey, welcome back to At Your Service, and we're talking panhandling. Daryl's called in. Hey, Daryl, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. Thanks for listening. What's on your mind?
Okay, I see this guy out, and he has a sign that says he's a disabled vet, and he has his name and his phone number, and he's looking for work. And I've talked to him extensively, and the thing is, he really is a disabled vet, and he gets money. But it's not enough. And he said he had filed for an extension, and he can't, you know, work every day. So he does little side jobs on the side. And the thing that I notice is that he asks for work, and he has his name and phone number. And he told me he's worked for several people. It's like he can work a day or two. I think he's got a bad neck and shoulder or something like that. And, you know, I didn't see nothing wrong with that. You know, I helped the guy out.
Sure. I help people out too, Daryl. In fact, I make sure that my wife and I, we contribute a lot to charities. But the problem with the panhandlers is that you don't know. Like, for example, the person you talked about, Daryl, that's a great person to help out. And I would gladly do that. But when you pull up at a stoplight, you don't know if that person is collecting because they're disabled or whether they're collecting to fuel a crack habit. You just don't know that. So giving to them, unless someone like you takes the time to stop and get to know them, you don't know if you're contributing to help them or contributing to hurt them.
Oh, I really believe him, because the truth be known, I took the guy out to eat and everything, and, you know, I'm like you. I'm skeptical, and he showed me his veteran ID and sure, everything. I believe him.
Well, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm just saying that it's hard to differentiate. My church is in Ferguson, Missouri, and there's been countless cases over the years where someone would come up to us after church and ask for money, and I would say, "Well, let me take you to get something to eat," and they'd say, "No, thanks." And so then they go to the next person and ask for money. I had one case where a person said, "I'm out of gas and I need money for gasoline." And I said, "Okay, well, get your car. Let's go to this gas station and I'll pay to fill it up." "No, I'd rather you just give me money." Okay, well, then all of a sudden red flags are going up. So that's the problem with panhandling, is you don't know if you're helping them or you're hurting them.
Yeah, the dude never asked me for money.
Well, that's a good example, Daryl. And you know what? I want to thank you for actually going the extra mile, not ignoring them, displaying, and I'm not being facetious, the milk of human kindness to help them out, to get to know them, look at them as a person, not as an object. And I just want to thank you for doing that.
Yeah, he was a clean shaven guy. He wasn't bummy or anything. And he's in the military. There's no way he could come up with all this. And he knows too many intimate details. He was in the Marines. And, you know, I was in the service. I don't know. This guy is real to me.
Good. Well, you know? And I'm glad that you took the time to get to know him. Hey, Daryl, thanks for calling in this evening. Appreciate it.
All right.
Take care. But when we go back to this issue here, the restrictions with regard to panhandling, the restrictions that are being proposed by a lot of these municipalities in the county are to restrict panhandling to sidewalks. In other words, you couldn't have them in the street, but you can have them on the sidewalk. And legally, of course, time and place restrictions are completely legal on speech. If you go out at 2 o'clock a.m. and start yelling in the middle of the street, you're going to get arrested. And because there are time and place restrictions when it comes to speech. And so you can designate areas. For example, with abortion clinics, there are lots of laws that say that protesters cannot block access to an abortion center. So if you're going to protest at an abortion clinic, you have to stay on the sidewalk. You have to stay 10 feet away from individuals who are walking in. There are all kinds of those restrictions, and those are perfectly legal. So I don't have any problem legally with saying you have to be on the sidewalk. But getting back to the caller who called in a few minutes ago about, you know, he took the time to get to know someone, and that's very admirable. There was Kevin Killeen did a whole nother story. It was from early last year, where there was at the time a whole group of panhandlers working the corner on Market Street and on 12th Street right next to City Hall. And so Kevin Killeen pulled up one day, turned on his recorder, and started recording a conversation. And he asked this person, hey, what are you collecting money for? The guy said, oh, well, over there in that park across the street from City Hall, when I get money from you, I'm going to go over there and buy some crack. And he was very open about it. Well, I don't want to give money to someone to further their crack habit. I don't want to contribute to that habit. And that's really part of the problem with panhandling. You don't know if you're helping them or if you're contributing to their crack habit. And he was very open about it. And for months and months, I remember commenting right here on Camel X, why is there panhandling and crack dealing going on literally across the street from City Hall of the city of St. Louis? And it took months, and eventually the sheriff of the city of St. Louis started cracking down on it. And now that park is relatively clear of both of those activities. But these cities are going to start cracking down, and I think rightfully so for one other reason. Let's go back to Robert Fernandez. Robert Fernandez was that guy who had the brains to hire Beavis Shock to represent him, to fight I think it was in Webster Groves, to fight the issuance of tickets because he was panhandling. And he took it all the way to the Missouri Supreme Court, and he won $150,000. Now, after payment of attorney's fees, and listen, I'm always in favor of payment of attorney's fees, he probably took home something close to $100,000. And that was about 2, maybe 3 years ago. According to this article in today's Post-Dispatch, he's still panhandling. He is still panhandling, and he made $100,000. So if someone comes up to your car and says, you know what, really, I want you to give me $10, but should you give them $10 if they've already won $100,000? Why couldn't that money be used to get an education, to go into a jobs program, to get a job? There are 10 million jobs in America today. So I'm not saying all panhandlers are wrong, far be it. They're not. And Daryl, the caller, gave us a perfect example of that. I just think that whenever you are criticizing, and the Post-Dispatch article was somewhat critical, criticizing municipalities for trying to regulate panhandlers, there is certainly more to the story. And of course, there's always more to the story here on At Your Service. We're going to take a break and come right back with even more stories. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to At Your Service. We're rolling into our last segment here, so thanks for staying up late with us. One of the things that I haven't talked about much at all, and this was intentional, has been the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. And I haven't talked about it much for a number of reasons, but primarily for one reason. We don't really know anything. So I'm upset by those on the right who say this is a travesty. It's the FBI being the police state. There are Gestapos. They're going in. Completely disagree with all that. I also disagree with those on the left who say it's Trump. He deserves it. He's probably got stuff in there. He should go to jail. Let's lock him up. I disagree with them, too. So because of that, I haven't talked much or provided much analysis to you on this issue, because we really, you're just speculating until you know. Now, tomorrow, though, and this is why I wanted to bring it up tonight, tomorrow there's going to be a curious scene that's going to play out in a courtroom in Florida tomorrow, because the issue at this point has been not the release of the affidavit, a release of the warrant. And I even said here on Campbell X, the warrant really isn't the big deal. The big deal is the affidavit. The big deal is listing the basis for issuing the warrant. That's what we want to know. And there's going to be a hearing tomorrow where federal magistrate, I believe his name is Reinhardt, is going to release a redacted affidavit, redacted by the FBI. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, this affidavit will probably have the name Mar-a-Lago, have Mar-a-Lago's address and their phone number there, and then everything else will be blacked out. I'm just telling you, there's not going to be any interesting or informative data in this affidavit. None. It's all going to be blocked out. And this is why I'm bringing this up tonight, because the curiosity here is dealing with what the media has been telling us, in particular the New York Times and the Washington Post, because just about every day we see a series of leaks that are just designed to put Donald Trump and his team on the defensive. Leaks about that Trump was hiding nuclear weapons material, or that Mar-a-Lago, that Trump had at Mar-a-Lago national security secrets that would damage the world order. And all of these things start coming out. We've even heard that there were 150 documents that were marked classified in January and another 150 documents that were marked classified in June. And so we see these leaks, and yet officially from the FBI, we hear crickets, and you're going to hear crickets tomorrow. And to me, it's that dichotomy that I wanted to raise to you, not to take Trump's position and defend him, not to criticize him or prosecute him, but just to point out that every time we see a leak, isn't it interesting that the FBI is trying to try this case in the court of public opinion instead of in a court of law? So instead of releasing these documents as they should in response to valid requests by Trump, by the media, by others, they're leaking this information to favorable news sources in order to create bad PR for Donald Trump. Now, let me tell you, and you can always download this podcast later and see if I'm lying. It may come to pass that Trump, that those documents are classified, that he shouldn't have had them, that he was told to return them after they were reclassified and he didn't do it. He very well may be a guilty party here. That's the point. We just don't know. And when a pundit right now tells you that either Trump is guilty or completely innocent, neither of those positions are correct, because we can't make a valid assessment and that we can't provide analysis and reach a conclusion until we know exactly what he took. And so far, the only way we know about what he took was through leaks through the media and the New York Times and the Washington Post. We're not seeing any of that. So that's the thing that I find very curious here, because what we're reading is the exact information that the government has refused to release, because the government claims, the FBI's position is that any disclosure, any release of this information would materially endanger the investigation and would endanger national security. So if that's true, and I'm not suggesting that it is or isn't, but if that is in fact true, then why is the FBI leaking that information? Why isn't the FBI trying to squelch or stop those leaks? Because the number of people who have information about what was in those boxes is a very small list. So why aren't those lists, or why aren't rather those people being reprimanded or punished or silenced with regard to leaking information? If you leak information regarding an active ongoing FBI investigation, that in of itself is a federal crime. Why aren't the leakers being prosecuted? Well, I don't think they're being prosecuted because this is a This is really a strategy that the FBI is using. That on the one hand, to say we can't issue any information from the affidavit. That's why we have to redact everything from the top of the page to the bottom of the page. And yet at the same time, leaking that very same information to favorable members of the media in order to create a sense of a public relations nightmare for President Trump. So when this affidavit gets released tomorrow and it's completely blacked out, and it's not going to be 100%, but I'll bet you it's 80% redacted when it comes out tomorrow. And there's not going to be any information in there that is useful for analysis or determining what was taken, why it was taken, or how long Trump had it. Because you got to remember this. When President Trump was president, any president has what's called plenary authority. That means absolute authority to classify and to declassify information. So if Trump had a standing, he had a standing executive order that any documents that left the White House and were taken to Mar-a-Lago were deemed to be declassified. Now, you may disagree with that from a public policy standpoint. I know I do. But legally, if they're declassified, how can he be prosecuted for removing documents that he himself declassified? That becomes problematic. It becomes extremely problematic. So that's why we need to know what those documents are, because this is what I suspect happened. That the documents that were taken from the White House to Mar-a-Lago, at some point, the FBI had an idea or an understanding of what those documents were. And then at that point, President Biden reclassified them. Because a former president can't classify or reclassify anything. So if it comes out later on that Trump is being prosecuted because Biden reclassified those very documents, then doesn't it look like almost a situation where Trump is being set up to be prosecuted? I mean, that almost sounds like entrapment, where you know someone has it and you change the classification of the documents for the purpose of prosecuting the person that possesses them. Again, I don't know that to be a fact. I'm just spitballing here. But this is what I think would be a valid concept of the overall picture of the document gate issue with President Trump. So we'll see tomorrow what the affidavit has to say, what information is played out. And when you see just how little information is disclosed in that affidavit, I want you to think of this show tonight telling you that, number one, there won't be much information in that affidavit. But number two, doesn't it conflict with the fact that they're leaking information on a daily basis? Then you got to ask yourself, why? Why are they doing that? And how does that serve the interests of the FBI? Hey, Brad Young in with you tonight. Had a great time. Make sure that you stick around at 10 o'clock. We've got the best of Dave Glover, as we do every weeknight at 10 o'clock. Stick around for that on the 50,000 watts KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service. We're rolling into our last segment here, so thanks for staying up late with us. One of the things that I haven't talked about much at all, and this was intentional, has been the FBI raid at Mar-a-Lago. And I haven't talked about it much for a number of reasons, but primarily for one reason. We don't really know anything. So I'm upset by those on the right who say, this is a travesty. It's the FBI being the police state. There are Gestapos. They're going in. Completely disagree with all that. I also disagree with those on the left who say it's Trump. He deserves it. He's probably got stuff in there. He should go to jail. Let's lock him up. I disagree with them, too. So because of that, I haven't talked much or provided much analysis to you on this issue, because you're just speculating. Until you know. Now, tomorrow, though, and this is why I wanted to bring it up tonight. Tomorrow, there's going to be a curious scene that's going to play out in a courtroom in Florida tomorrow. Because the issue at this point has been not the release of the affidavit, release of the warrant. And I even said here on Campbell X, the warrant really isn't the big deal. The big deal is the affidavit. The big deal is listing the basis for issuing the warrant. That's what we want to know. And there's going to be a hearing tomorrow where federal magistrate, I believe his name is Reinhardt, is going to release a redacted affidavit, redacted by the FBI. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, this affidavit will probably have the name Mar-a-Lago, have Mar-a-Lago's address and their phone number there, and then everything else will be blacked out. I'm just telling you, there's not going to be any interesting or informative data in this affidavit. None. It's all going to be blocked out. And this is why I'm bringing this up tonight, because the curiosity here is dealing with what the media has been telling us, in particular the New York Times and the Washington Post, because just about every day we see a series of leaks that are just designed to put Donald Trump and his team on the defensive. Leaks about that Trump was hiding nuclear weapons material, or that Mar-a-Lago, that Trump had at Mar-a-Lago national security secrets that would damage the world order. And all of these things start coming out. We've even heard that there were 150 documents that were marked classified in January and another 150 documents that were marked classified in June. And so we see these leaks, and yet officially from the FBI, we hear crickets, and you're going to hear crickets tomorrow. And to me, it's that dichotomy that I wanted to raise to you, not to take Trump's position and defend him, not to criticize him or prosecute him, but just to point out that every time we see a leak, isn't it interesting that the FBI is trying to try this case in the court of public opinion instead of in a court of law? So instead of releasing these documents as they should in response to valid requests by Trump, by the media, by others, they're leaking this information to favorable news sources in order to create bad PR for Donald Trump. Now, let me tell you, and you can always download this podcast later and see if I'm lying. It may come to pass that Trump, that those documents are classified, that he shouldn't have had them, that he was told to return them after they were reclassified, and he didn't do it. He very well may be a guilty party here. That's the point. We just don't know. And when a pundit right now tells you that either Trump is guilty or completely innocent, neither of those positions are correct, because we can't make a valid assessment, and that we can't provide analysis and reach a conclusion until we know exactly what he took. And so far, the only way we know about what he took was through leaks through the media and the New York Times and the Washington Post. We're not seeing any of that. So that's the thing that I find very curious here, because what we're reading is the exact information that the government has refused to release, because the government claims, the FBI's position is that any disclosure, any release of this information would materially endanger the investigation and would endanger national security. So if that's true, and I'm not suggesting that it is or isn't, but if that is in fact true, then why is the FBI leaking that information? Why isn't the FBI trying to squelch or stop those leaks? Because the number of people who have information about what was in those boxes is a very small list. So why aren't those lists, or why aren't rather those people being reprimanded or punished or silenced with regard to leaking information? If you leak information regarding an active ongoing FBI investigation, that in of itself is a federal crime. Why aren't the leakers being prosecuted? Well, I don't think they're being prosecuted because this is really a strategy that the FBI is using. That on the one hand, to say, We can't issue any information from the affidavit. That's why we have to redact everything from the top of the page to the bottom of the page. And yet at the same time, leaking that very same information to favorable members of the media in order to create a sense of a public relations nightmare for President Trump. So when this affidavit gets released tomorrow and it's completely blacked out, and it's not going to be 100%, but I'll bet you it's 80% redacted when it comes out tomorrow. And there's not going to be any information in there that is useful for analysis or determining what was taken, why it was taken, or how long Trump had it. Because you got to remember this. When President Trump was president, any president has what's called plenary authority. That means absolute authority to classify and to declassify information. So if Trump, in fact, Trump had a standing, he had a standing executive order that any documents that left the White House and were taken to Mar-a-Lago were deemed to be declassified. Now, you may disagree with that from a public policy standpoint. I know I do. But legally, if they're declassified, how can he be prosecuted for removing documents that he himself declassified? That becomes problematic. It becomes extremely problematic. So that's why we need to know what those documents are, because this is what I suspect happened, that the documents that were taken from the White House to Mar-a-Lago, at some point, the FBI had an idea or an understanding of what those documents were. And then at that point, President Biden reclassified them, because a former president can't classify or reclassify anything. So if it comes out later on that Trump is being prosecuted because Biden reclassified those very documents, then doesn't it look like almost a situation where Trump is being set up to be prosecuted? I mean, that almost sounds like entrapment, where you know someone has it and you change the classification of the documents for the purpose of prosecuting the person that possesses them. Again, I don't know that to be a fact. I'm just spitballing here. But this is what I think would be a valid concept of the overall picture of the document gate issue with President Trump. So we'll see tomorrow what the affidavit has to say, what information is played out. And when you see just how little information is disclosed in that affidavit, I want you to think of this show tonight telling you that, number one, there won't be much information in that affidavit. But number two, doesn't it conflict with the fact that they're leaking information on a daily basis? Then you got to ask yourself, why? Why are they doing that? And how does that serve the interests of the FBI? Hey, Brad Young in with you tonight. Had a great time. Make sure that you stick around at 10 o'clock. We've got the best of Dave Glover, as we do every weeknight at 10 o'clock. Stick around for that on the 50,000 watts KMOX.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.